Okay, we're going to do it like the New Testament writers did it. Okay, so actually most of us are Afrikaans in this service, but we're going to do it in English. Most of the New Testament writers, they were actually Hebrew and Aramaic speaking, but they wrote in Greek. Why? Because more people could understand. Because if I'm going to go into Afrikaans, this little man over here, he won't understand properly, but he's getting married to Afrikaans lady in the beginning of next year, so... Great, I don't know. Where's Jama? Jama's also here. Okay, what are we going to do now is we want to send a couple of people. We love receiving people, and we don't really like sending people, but we know that's what Jesus told us to do. So we're going to call all those people that are going away next year, the Marguerites, the Hoffmans. Donnie, he just came back from, did you sleep last night? 2 hours, he slept 2 hours last night. He's a doctor in the provincial hospital. So we are the Matrix. Kom Ritka. Kom Mika. Jy's ook sommer hierso. Okay, you guys can come forward. Yaku. Who else are going away? We don't want you to go away. Joma, you don't know. Huh? Are you going away? Okay. If you want to go, we're busy looking at planting a church in Mauritius. If you want to go there, okay, none of you, okay. I'm just quickly going to, I'm going to ask everybody, we have lots of time because it's holiday. Huh? I'm going to ask quickly just to share where you're going. Maybe just, if you want to say something else to the congregation, encourage us, that'd be awesome. Okay, Jama, we're going to start here with you. Because you just have such an amazing voice, Jama.
Right. No. Hello, everyone. I'm basically completing my master's now in agriculture, and next year I want to do my PhD, but overseas, because I feel like God put in my heart missions, and it's that side of the world that I'm called to. So it's sort of a step of faith that I'm wanting to take. I'm not really sure yet of where and how, but I'm trusting and just wanting to follow God and, yeah, do His art, like His will. And Shofar has been such an amazing place for me. Like, I'm usually here in the evenings with the students, but there's so much love, even in the morning service. There's just so much love and a sense of belonging and family. So you never feel like, maybe I shouldn't have been here. And just God has been working and just pushing me out of, like, wanting to just be comfortable and just be unknown and be at the back, because it's not about me, but about what He wants to do through me, and I'm just wanting to be open to that.
Engels. Nee, Engels, bietjie moeilik. Nee, ek gaan net volgende jaar op Stellenbosch gaan swat, gaan bekom swat, en gaan wil graag daar betrokke raak op Stellenbosch shofar. Ja.
Ja, ek gaan ook volgende jaar Stellenbosch toe en ek gaan weer rek studeer en ek gaan ook daar betrokke raak by Stellenbosch shofar en die eerste jaar shofar kamp. Ja.
Hallo, ek gaan by shofar werk in Stellenbosch. Going to work at shofar in Stellenbosch. The internship, yes, I'm very excited.
Cool. Na groot gesukkel van aansoeke en kies om waar ons moet wees en so aan het, is ek geplaas by Temba Hospitaal, buiten Witrivier, na by Nelspruit in Mpumalanga. So ek moet my gemeenskapsjaar daar gaan doen volgende jaar. En Elspeth, my vrou, kom saam. so dit was, dis nou nuwe uitdaging vir ons, nuwe provinsie, nuwe mense in. Maar ons sien uit daarna, ons glo wat ons daar gaan doen is hopelik in die Here se prentjie vir ons en ons gaan vir julle kom kuier. maar en julle is almal welkom om die Wildtuin te kom besoek. Ons gaan naby in die Wildtuin bly. Maar ek wil ook net dankie sê vir al ons vriende wat ons hier gemaak het. Gert en Nancy wat ek al in Shofar Joburg ontmoet het. Ons het regtig thuis gevoel hierso. Baie geleer. En alhoewel het vir my een moeilike tyd was, waar ek nie noodwendig altyd tyd gehad het om in te sit of by mense uit te kom of selfs kerkdinge nie. Waardeer ek die vriendskap wat van almal en die ondersteuning en ons hoop ons kom weer terug. Ja, so dankie vir almal. Ons seën julle en almal ons hierdie was ons leier. Hy's 'n awesome pastor. Ons waardeer julle hart en vir jou vrou ook. Ja, Cornel het baie vir ons beteken nou onlangs, so ons waardeer reg net julle as 'n pastor couple.
Môre almal. Ja, ek was 'n kort tydjie saam met julle, vir like 6 maande, maar ongelukkig in my werk beweeg ek baie. Ja, die werk het besluit ek met Nysna toe gaan. So die 1 Februarie skuif ek Nysna toe. Ek het begin eers kyk of ek moet trek of bly, maar toe ek die kostes begin uitwerk, dit gaan net beter wees as ek trek. Maar ek het gevind elke keer wat ek so ver trek, was die Vader se hand daarin. Ja, ek het al 4-5 keer getrek in die laaste 2 jaar en elke keer was daar 'n doel gewees, so ek glo die Vader weet wat hy doen en ek volg hom waar ek moet gaan.
Kom probeer, môre julle. Erik is nou gelukkig hier vanoggend hier nie, hy is in Australië vir die week waar hy klas gee, by 'n sportopleidingsskool, dis nie my kind nie. So, ek verteenwoordig maar vir ons vanoggend. Julle weet, Erik was Griekeland toe gewees, die voorreg gehad om dit te doen in Oktober, om die vlugtelinge te werk. Oh, I'm supposed to speak English. And so he worked with the refugees, and the Lord hasn't left us alone ever since. So we served in missions before myself for 18 years, so in a sense this is not new for us. Yes, so it's again a different, and in a sense a new season laying ahead, but we feel like we're supposed to move to Europe. We've been in communication with some YWAM regional leaders in Hungary who invited us to come there. And for Erik to do coordination specifically for all the outreach and long-term work with the refugees in refugee camps. They're closing the doors now, so we don't know how many new ones will be arriving, but there'll be lots of work for years and years to come with integrating people or helping them to get back to their country or teaching and training and relief work and all kinds of things. We don't know what all is ahead. And why it seems like Hungary is a good option is because through the YWAM leaders there, we'll be able to get Schengen residential status. And for all of us from South Africa, we know visas are a big pain in the neck. So this is really, yeah, an answer to prayer that we're very excited about. So yeah, from January on, we'll be looking towards moving and getting all our little ducks in a row in order to be able to do that. And we'll be coming and going for a little bit here with some other opportunities that we have. And so I'm not sure exactly when we'll get on a plane, and it's still going to take a lot of miracles, but that's where we are. And so this morning, I just want to say thank you so much. Cornel, is jou skuld. For the amazing body that you've been. It was such a privilege to serve alongside you. And this is such a good season for us of just rest and recuperation, in a sense. And to my ladies group, leg julle hande op, julle almal. All of these ladies especially, some other ones as well, but all of these ladies especially have had such an impact on my life. And it was so good walking with you. Cornel, guardeer jou so. Oh, my, jy ook. So, thank you for what you've been. Thank you for the way that you've given, and the way that you've given of your lives, not just your resources. We're so privileged to know you, and we're taking you with us in our hearts, for sure, and we hope that you'll be praying for us, certainly, and we hope we can keep you updated on what the Lord's doing there, and I hope you can see us as an extension of who you are. With what we're doing in another country. So thank you. Thank you, Omo, for the opportunity.
Great, okay. Well, if you know somebody, please come and hug them, kiss them. Come and stand with them, and we're going to pray that God, and maybe if the Rus, we are the Rus, they're actually also working with refugees in Jordan. They're just visiting here. So if you can also stand here, we want to send you too. We want to welcome you and then send you. Okay. Okay, if you can, we're just going to stand with you people, these people, and just pray over them a prayer of blessing. Thank you, Jesus. Just pray over them. Prophesy them. Whatever you feel God is telling you to do. Ja Here, ons sê sommer dankie Here vir hierdie wonderlike mense Here en ons ontvang elke geskenk wat hulle that they've deposited in our midst, Lord. And we thank you that you will multiply it in our midst, Lord. But thank you that we can also send them with your power, with your love, with your mercy, Lord, with your provision. Lord, we declare that they will be the head and not the tail. They will walk in favor with God and with men in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we declare that your blood, the blood of Jesus, covers them. It protects them, Lord, and thank you that the devil is scared of them, but you are with them. In the name of Jesus, thank you that they will walk in love and they will see the fruit of their labor. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Is tissues hier voor? Iewers. As hulle sick. Okay, great. So we don't have children's church, so we love doing it as a family. So we're gonna allow the children in the service, eh? Because that's how it should be. So just for today, if you don't have children, you get irritated a little by children. Jesus didn't. Okay. So you're welcome. We're gonna have a space over there. If you feel irritated, you can just kneel down, repent, and you can walk back. Is that fine? Okay. So we're gonna allow that. Okay, Evan. Ek het jou nodig hierso. Evan, gaan jy vir my help? Come on, Evan. Evan? Yes. Evan. 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 Okay, Evan, gaan gou iets doen. Okay. Okay, that's the prop for today. Okay. Let's go to the first scripture. Matthew 28, huh? As there's so many people here that's called to missions and called to disciple the world. So let's start with a good scripture to start off. Matthew 28:18. If you have your Bibles, please go there. It says this: All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I love the New King James, it actually says, and lo, just sounds cooler, huh? Behold, lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Okay, so I want to start with, so Jesus, at the end of his life here on planet Earth, calls his disciples together and he tells them, hey, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. So none of us can get around this. If we don't prioritize discipleship, in other words, walking a road with people, mentoring people into the life of Jesus, representing Jesus well, we're missing the point. We're missing the point. All of us are called. All of us should read the scripture from the point of view where we're standing before Jesus, and Jesus is looking us in the eye, and he says, go and make disciples. All of us are called to that. None of us have an excuse. Okay, so turn to the person next to you and say, you don't have an excuse. Okay, so the question that you hear a lot when you're in pastoral ministry is, hey, Amo, what is the will for my life? I don't know what I'm called to do. I don't know how I should apply my resources. I don't know how I should apply my gifts in this world. But this is the answer. Go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. If you need the will of God for your life, sometimes we love hearing from God, and I love prophetic words, and love people coming to me and say, hey, I want to see a picture of you running around preaching the gospel on the beaches or wherever. I love those kind of pictures. But sometimes we just need to get back to the word and get back to what is God saying? What is he saying? What is his last and standing command? It says, go and make disciples. So the will of God for your life is to make disciples. We can't get around that. We can't get around that. And if you are a Christian, if you're not a Christian, you can get around it. But if you're a Christian, you can't. We are called to that. So this is it's a task, it is an assignment, it's something that we need to go and do. There's action involved. Go and make disciples. It's difficult to read that and think, okay, I'm going to sit, and I'm going to just sit, and I'm going to sit, and watch TBN, and enjoy my couch. No, there's action involved. So that's very important. Very, very, very important. But listen to the next part. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So Jesus starts to explain how we need to go and do that. He says, baptizing them. So we love people getting baptized. Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And I want to just stay with this verse a little. Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And here we have difficulty, I believe, as a Western society. Because we see, how do you see teaching? What is teaching to you? Most of us see teaching as something where you sit in a class and somebody is giving a monologue from the front, and you will be tested at the end of a term or a semester or a year on the information that you've received in the class, and you must write it down when you write it down. But that wasn't teaching in the first century context. The first century context was of rabbis walking with a group of people like Jesus did, teaching them, not only telling them, but also showing them. In other words, leading in example. Leading them so that they can learn, hey, this is what you should do. This is the theory. Hey, but this is the practical. So teaching in the biblical time, the first century context, it was a prac class. Yes, there was some theory involved, and that's why we have a book. That's why they studied the Torah. But also there was a strong practical side to teaching. And many times we think, okay, we are called to teach people. Hey, because you want to show how much you know so that you can impress somebody else. But what Jesus is actually saying, go and make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them, telling them, but also showing them. In other words, leading by example. And it says this, them to observe all that I have commanded you. All that I've commanded you. Okay, so let's backtrack a little. What did Jesus command us to do? What is the biggest commandment? What is the biggest commandment? Love God, love people. I loved it when I was at university. You had some very clever girls in the class, and they would be able to summarize a whole year's lectures on 2 pages or on 10 pages. and you love those people. You want to be friends with those people. But Jesus is one of them. He's like, I'm going to summarize the whole Torah, the first five books. I'm going to summarize not only the law, but also the prophets. I'm going to summarize the whole Old Testament with these two commandments. Love God, love people. Love God, love people. Amazing. We love Jesus for that. So Jesus says, hey, go. Get your boat van your stool off. Go, make disciples. That's your calling. That's your the will of God for your life. And then he says, baptizing them. Yeah, get people under the water. Keep them there so they die to their old life and they get raised into their new life. But then, hey, teach them. This is how I want you to walk it out. I want you to tell them how to do it, but also show them, lead by example, to observe everything that I've commanded you. So what if we think of the most important thing that we need to tell people, show people, is the commandment of love. It's the commandment of love. We should be lovers of God. We should be lovers of people. And not only tell people they should love people, you must love people. I love what C.S. Lewis says. He says, don't think if you love your neighbor, act as if you do. It's an action we love. Love is a verb. Annie Stanley says, the key to love is to go home and make love a verb. Make love a verb. Not what we see in the movies. That's not only that's for marriage when they get married. That's important. But make love a verb. So Jesus is actually giving us so much insight into how to go about this assignment. And that's why the biggest things in the last 2 weeks that God has told me through people that I love, through my quiet time, is that, Amo, you love the assignment. You love the task. I love the ministry. I love everything I do. But Amo, are you walking out as a lover of God? Are you walking out as a lover of people? And not only that, can you sincerely say that you love people, but also do people experience love? That's why in marriage prep, we teach people about the five love languages. My love language is words of encouragement and physical touch. And that's why I love giving love. But my wife, she doesn't care about physical touch. She cares about physical touch because she cares about me. She cares about words of affirmations because he cares about me. But he loves acts of service. He loves quality time. So the biggest mistake that I made in the beginning of our marriage is I didn't do acts of service. Otherwise, I'll just tell her how beautiful she is because it's easy because my wife is very beautiful. I just tell her how great and awesome and amazing she is because it's easy because she is great and amazing and awesome. And just keep on telling it all the time. But what she really, how she really experiences love is by me just washing the dishes. It's a different one. Where if you have wives that are love acts of service, huh? You feel a little like, smulek, huh? Come on, guys. Huh? Smulek. Okay, Yaku, when you get married, just fill in that form first, say. Physical touch is easy. Words of affirmation is easy. So Jesus is saying, hey, and teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. So yes, that includes a lot, but that basically comes down to showing them, telling them to love God and to love people and to practically live that out and apply that to your own life. So we are called to loving God. Matthew 22, let's read the scripture because it's powerful, 36 to 40. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. So now, the summary. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Basically, with everything that you are. This is the great and the first commandment. So, man, that's the most important thing. your relationship with God is the most important thing. To be a lover of God is our calling in life. To be a lover of God is the one thing that will drive your assignment to go and make disciples. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So walking and talking in love, that's the method of disciples, of discipleship. Because we were created to love. 1 John 4, it speaks of God is love. And we are created in His image. So what does that mean? It means that you have a heart on your forehead. Sien julle myne? Okay. Ek snoeg julle, ek weet is daar. We are created in His image and we were created for love. Because God is love. The Bible doesn't say He is holiness. It says He is holy. But it says God is love. So we are created in His image. We are lovers. Tell the person next to you, hey, you're a lover. He's a lover. Those Afrikaans people that don't understand, lover means he's lief vir mense, okay? Do you understand that? Lover. You are a lover. We are lovers. That's who we are. So if devil knows that we are lovers, what would he try and do to us? It's like with the Russians now, when they started the airstrikes on ISIS, what did they go for? They went for the oil resources. Because they know that if they can stop the oil flowing from Syria, from ISIS territory, they would stop the money that fund this operation of ISIS. So, just blow everything up. So that's a picture of the devil. Not that Vladimir Putin is the devil, but that's a picture of the devil. He knows that if he can destroy our identity as lovers, that we are created in the image of God to be lovers, to be loving, to love God and love people. He will destroy who we are and He will destroy our connection with the ultimate lover that is God. And that is where the devil's getting it. So what does he do? He places us in families that are broken and we don't receive love. And then we become awkward with love. And if you're awkward with love, you are awkward with God. If you can't receive love, then you're awkward with God. If you're awkward with intimacy, you're going to be awkward with God. So some of us have been on the side where the devil just sends his missiles and bombs us. Hey, I'm getting into a relationship here with my dad, supposed to love me, my mom, my siblings, friends. And what happens? The devil comes and he destroys your vulnerability, your trust in other people, your heart. And what does he do? He destroys who you are. He tries to destroy because he knows, he wants to get at your connection with God. Because if you're a lover and you're loving God and you're loving from the very being of who you are, then you have a connection with God and you start to understand who you are. Our identity is one of the biggest weapons today. Who of you have ever been in a situation, or now you think back to that situation and you like, I just wish that I understood back then who I was. I just wish that when that person told me that thing, I understood who I am. And you're like, if I know that I'm a son of God, and somebody comes to me and say, hey, Omar, you're an idiot, you're useless, you da-da-da, and if I know it because I know it, because it's just the way that I am, nobody's going to take that away from me. If I know that my dad, I'm a O'Kennedy, and somebody else comes to me and say, hey, Omar, jy is a Bloemendal. Jy lyk soos a Bloemendal, man. Jy's a bloemen Bloemendal. Iemand het al gebruik, hè? Nog nie. Okay. I'm just going to go, no, I'm O. Kennedy, because I know it, because I know it, because I know it. So your identity is your biggest weapon. And there's a story in it's 1 Chronicles 2:20, where Jehoshaphat, the King Jehoshaphat, one of descended from David, he comes against the Ammonites and the Moabites, and then he inquires of the Lord, and then he comes up with a strategy. His strategy is to send the worship team to the front, so they can destroy the Ammonites and the Moabites with their guitars and their drumsticks and their amazing weapons. No. So they can worship God, and God can bring the confusion amongst the Moabites and the Ammonites. But why did he do it? Yes, he heard from the Lord, but also because Judah, the tribe that he represents, their name means to praise. Their name means to praise. So what did they do? Oh man, we don't know what to do. Let's just go back to our identity. Let's just send the praise and worship people in front, and let's just worship them apart. Let's just destroy them with our worship. It's powerful. I know that my name means Father's voice. I know that my grandfather got the name, and my father gave the name to me because he knows there was a calling in my life to be in ministry. And to go. It's like, hey, when somebody tells me, you're not supposed to, I'm like, hey, that's my name. Amor, yeah. Not love like in Latin. It actually comes from Nigeria. It's amazing. Yeah? I'm African, not Latin, Spanish or whatever. It's my name. Your identity is your strongest weapon. Your identity is your strongest weapon. And it comes from a love connection. You're a lover. You are a lover. That's who we created to be. If all else fails, just go back to loving. Loving, loving. That's who we are. That's how we're going to disciple the nations. You need to build into that. You need to expose yourself to people that are loving. You need to love people even when it hurts. Because that's who you are. When your family falls apart, love. Because it's powerful. If you miss love, then you miss everything. If you're awkward with love, awkward with friendship, awkward with intimacy, you are not walking out your God-given identity, and you won't be able to receive healing, forgiveness from God. So it's so important. I just see it in my life. I love the task. I love the assignment. I love to go and just do it. But if I'm not going to love, I'm going to miss it. You know what? It's actually boring not to love. Somebody this week spoke to me and said, almost sometimes I just see you as a, gave me a word and says, almost see you as somebody who just runs after the task, and at the end, you're like, where's everybody? Because you didn't love. You didn't do it with friendship. You didn't do it in relationship. It's one of the most exciting things to do your birthday with other people. Just imagine doing a birthday without other people. They're just boring. Huh? It's boring. Okay. Turn to the person next to you. Tell them, never have your birthday alone. And there's a attack from the devil to keep us from friendship, to get us so busy at our workplace, to get us so busy with a task, with a ministry, they would forget to love. And I know some people say, yeah, but I love God, or I love... No. You should love people. Love people too. Jack Frost said, until you value intimacy and love more than what God can do for you, you will continue to have a void in your heart. Until you value intimacy and love more than what God can do for you, you will continue to have a void in your heart. Are we just so task-driven with God? Hey, God, save my friend. Hey, God, build this ministry. Hey, God, save George. Hey, God, how are you doing? Who are you? I just want to spend time with you. Hey, God, Zuma's taking this country apart. Can you just make him fall or something? Hey, God, how are you doing? God, I just want to be with you. I think all of us, we have kids, we're like, sometimes our kids are like, hey, Papa Duniri, do this, do this, do this. I mean, he's like, hey, just tell me, you value me as a parent. I just want to be with you. We're going to get to the teenage stage, but apparently that's even worse. Because I was like that. Hey, Mom, you can do this for me, and Dad, you can do this for me. I value the relationship in terms of what are you going to do for me? But that's immature. That's really immature. Sometimes even we want to do good stuff. So we want to come to church so that we can have a good feeling at the end. Or you want to worship so that God will come through, because we know that God inhabits the praises of his people. So you want to do something that's godly and it's amazing, but if your heart's not for intimacy with God, we're missing it. We're missing it. Because we are lovers. We are lovers. Listen to this. 1 John, written by the Apostle John. He was a lover. He understood love, and it's also called the apostle who Jesus dearly loved. And was the guy who was lying on Jesus, almost said, breast, chest, at the orphan mall, at the end. He's lying there because he's a lover. He writes this, anyone who does not love does not know God. So how do you know somebody loves God? Because he is just loving. He is a lover. He's not awkward with love. He just loves. He loves. Because God is love. That is his identity. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Wow. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Hey, that's a very good English word, eh, for Afrikaans people. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. It says no one has ever seen God. And what he's actually saying, he says, if we love people, if we love our brothers and sisters, if we are lovers, people will start seeing God. It says that we will be known, that his disciples will be known by what? By the love that they have for each other. Not by how amazing they are, how big their church is, but by the love they have for one another. Verse 16, so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God. And God abides in him. That's where we want to get to. We want to establish that connection, that loving connection with God. And if you're in that place, yes, then the assignment, the task gets so much more exciting. Because it's not only you that are changing and transforming George or are building your family. It's you and God. God that abides in you. That's doing this. And you're so much more in a safer place. I was talking to this lady. It's not in our church. But she's walking a road with some homeless guy. And the lady is just so fearful of what this guy can do to her heart. Because she now trusts him. She now wants to help him. But she's so afraid of helping him, because what if this guy just spoils everything again? What will happen to her heart? But that's not how we think as Christians. We're like, I have the love of God in my, I messed up so many times. Jesus still loves me. And now I can walk with other people and I can be vulnerable. Yes, Bible says guard your heart because it's the wellspring of life. So don't go into romantic relationships with unsaved people. It is stupid. It is stupid because what are you giving your most vulnerable piece of who you are to somebody that don't have God in their lives? It's stupid. Don't know your limits in terms of how to love. But we can come to a place where we can have so much more to give than we have at the moment. God wants to love. So I was listening to this guy called Jack Frost. He tells a story. He says in East Africa in the 1930s, there was a big, big revival. And it started on one mine in East Africa. So there were two guys, two Christian guys. They're from different villages, but they couldn't get along. They couldn't get along just because they were from two different villages. And they were trying to evangelize the miners on the mine. And then one day, the guy's like, hey, why are you guys not listening to what I say? Why are you guys not responding? And they all like, wow, it's good news. It's amazing what you're sharing. And then they said, it's because you can't get along with other Christian. Two Christians, but you can't get along with other Christian. Because as disciples, we'll be known as Jesus' disciples for the love that we have for one another. They couldn't see God because they weren't loving each other. And so he went back to his room, the place that he stayed, and he prayed. And apparently this other guy had the same revelation. And then as they walked to the mine the next day, they were actually walking together. They met each other. And they asked for forgiveness, and they started loving each other. And that revival broke out, and 300,000 people got saved. And the point that Jack Frost makes that I feel is really important for us, especially where we're at Bowman, in terms of the body of Christ, in terms of how we deal with Christians. He says, the sin against love, not loving your Christian brother, kept away 300,000 people from receiving Christ. 300,000 people were kept away by the sin against love. Because a sin against love is not only sin against God, because God is love. It's also a sin against who you are. That's also stupid. Sin against love is also a sin against... And we look at big sin, we think of plate rage as big sin, we think of what happens with drugs, alcohol. But we don't think of not loving as a sin. But it's keeping people away from salvation. And that's a challenge that Cornel and I have. If we don't work in our marriage, in our relationship, if we don't work in our family, friendships, loving relationships, people like come to our church and maybe there'll be a good message, maybe there'll be good worship. That's maybe going to impress them. And maybe, yes, they will experience God because God's faithful and God's gracious. But what will happen if they realize that we actually not, there's no intimacy in our home, there's no love in our home, there's nothing? What will happen? They will not be offended only with me, they will be offended with the God that I serve because I didn't represent him well. So sin against love is bad. It's really bad. And I'm just challenged by God just to come into his rest, come into his Sabbath rest. And we're going on holiday tomorrow, praise Jesus. And to love. Because when you clothe yourself with love, when you take on the identity of a lover, you start seeing people like Jesus sees them. seeing your wife, your children, even Jacob Zuma. Like, I'm really struggling with this thing, signing the petition, and Jacob Zuma must fall. I don't think it's wrong to sign the petition. But what I'm just sad about is that so many people are going to sin against love. Because they hate the ANC. They hate Jacob Zuma. And what do? When you hate somebody? You actually give that person power over you. This is what we do. We like want to disempower him, but now we hate him, so we empower him. That's how stupid that is. So it's, we need to be lovers, but we can't be just passive. We need to be like Jan Willem actually applying for a job at the Eden Municipality and doing his job excellent. And also be a Christian. Huh? Jan Willem did an amazing job. He's going to have a huge impact. We need that. We need that. But we can't sin against love. Because Jacob Zuma is not our problem. The powers and the principalities, that's our enemy. And we need to take up our identity as lovers. And we need to love the hell out of the ANC. Love the hell out of the DA. Love the hell out of our government. Just love. And it should be an active thing. It should be an active thing. But we can't get our hearts to a place where we're just so hurt. I was driving here to all the intercession room and I'm listening to RSG. Man, it was just complaint about, just complain negativity. Just set it off. This is what we're going to do 21 days next year. Just put off the social media. Put off the radio. Just don't read the newspapers. If you're going to start with the newspaper every morning, some of you also have the bad habit of taking your phone and going onto News 24 like I do. In the morning, the first thing I wait, I don't know, sorry. And then you read like, what's happening to our country? But I don't start with God. I don't start with loving God. What's the basis for the day? It's wrong. It's pulling wrong. So how do we become lovers? We know that God is the ultimate lover and that we are his happy thought. Luke in one evening service said, I think it was Luke, he said, we have this idea that God is like a principal. If you were in school and somebody told you, hey, you need to go to the principal's office, what did you think? Moeilijkheid. Yeah. But that's under God. God is calling you every day into his office. But we think that God's going to point the finger. No, he's going to stand there and open his arms and says, hey, my son. Hey, my lover. I want to love you a little. I want to love you today so that you know that you are my happy thought. Just love you. I just love you. I love you. Love you. I love you. I love you. So that's the way it starts. It starts with a relationship with God. If you don't have Jesus in your life, you're never going to experience that. And it's not a once-off thing. Salvation is not somewhere you put your hand up in a Fiesphere camp back in the day and you made a commitment. You had a warm, fuzzy feeling. That's great and that's amazing. We go for that. We love encounters with God. But then you need to walk it out, just loving God. Just loving God and receiving his love. So that's the first thing. That's the first thing. We must know in our heads that we are God's happy thought. He actually gets excited about who we are and about what we're going to do, but first, about who we are. Like, God's so excited about the devil just going to Stellenbosch and just loving all the guys and all the girls. They're all okay. God loves it. Then the second one is, make love your first response. If you have the tendency to be like I do, you want to be right. That's your first response, to defend yourself. If you defend yourself, you want to be right. That's why you defend yourself the whole time. Somebody tells you something, your wife gives input or whatever. You're like, hey, okay, I'm gonna biblically state my point. I'm right. On this side of the line, I'm right. You're wrong. That's not love. That's self-righteousness. That's trying to tell yourself that you're better than the other person. Third point is love requires humility before God and man. And it's probably the most difficult part of this thing. You say that you're a lover. And somehow we get it right with our kids, but we struggle with just peer relationships. I know that when Eva comes to me and she treats me badly, like Nicholas took the small broom, what's he, fits like, claim BSMP, anyway. Okay. And he smacked me over there the other day. Just like randomly. They were playing and he just got so excited. He just smacked me over there. I must say, I was really mad. Still have a thing here in my somewhere. Here we go. Over there. But the moment he did it, the moment the pain just a little lighter on me, I realized that I just love this guy because he's young. He's young. And in a way, we get it right with our children. But if let somebody offend you that you think is supposed to be mature, whether it's your mom or dad, family, we're going to a family season now, you're going to spend time with people that are supposed to love you, not necessarily going to love you. But your first response should be love. We're going to do it in this way, or we're going to do it in that way, and you don't agree with that. Your first response is love. And you need to walk that out. You need to ask God how that looks. If they ask you to compromise on your faith, don't do that. But if it's a simple thing, whether going to the beach, or going to the river, going up in the mountain, just love. Make love your first response. And love requires humility before God. So, just to be humble before Nicholas and say, Nicholas, I love you. I'm not going to try and defend me now. I'm just going to love. Listen to this. Acts of humility before family and others produce habits. Okay, do you get that? So it starts with an action. Love is a verb. Acts of humility before family and others produce habits. That's where we want to get to. We want to get to habits, where you begin to see others as preferred to yourself, and habits breed attitudes. So you start with the action, then it will start forming a habit. So I'm serving, I'm doing the dishes. And it will become a habit, just walk into the house like, where's the dishes? Oh, we got a dishwasher now. We don't have to do the dishes anymore. But there's a habit that forms. And that will breed an attitude. Whoa, it's actually enjoyable doing the dishes for my wife. Acts of humility, loving my wife. God speaks to me when I do the dishes. Where you begin to find pleasure in the acts of humility and attitudes strengthen and form your will. So these habits breeds an attitude of just, that's what you're going to do life. And these attitudes then strengthen and form your will, where you trust God to do the work of defending, honoring, and exalting you, and that develops the character of a lover. So you're going to go from acts, then you're going to go to habits, and that will breed attitudes, and then you'll get to that place where you trust God to defend you. You will trust God. If your wife doesn't place the crown on your head, if you don't feel that your wife respects you, if you start acting this way and being a humble servant towards her, you're starting to trust God that He will place the crown on your head and then command it from her, because that never works. And that develops the character of a lover. And the fourth one is, do not tolerate sins against love in your life. Basically, it comes down to having just a routine where you confess sins against love. Hey God, that guy really offended me. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that my mind is thinking of destroying that guy, or my mind is in competition with that person. I just want to be better. I'm sorry, God. Repenting. Don't tolerate acts of sins against love. Because you're sinning against God, yes, but you're also sinning against who you are. You're never going to start walking out who you are and your calling and making disciples if you do that. Just like missing the point. That is the Greek definition of sin. And then the last one, witness transparently about God's love touches in your life. Just share how God touched you. Share how God touched you. Share how God intervened in your marriage, how God intervened in your pornography situation, how God intervened in your relationship, just where you were wrong. And then your wife said something and you realized you were wrong. Because you're not always right. Or wives, when you were wrong, just share it with people. Because the moment we start sharing it, we get to that place where we just start becoming more intertwined with each other, more of an intimate, loving community. Because we all know that we're not perfect. Just share it transparently. And transparently means that you share about something God in your life that you have victory over. And when do we have victory? When 51% of the times you don't fall for that thing. So you have a 1% leverage on the devil. Then you can share it. I found that sharing something that I'm going through is one of the easiest ways to actually get through it. Hey, buddy. And don't share everything with everybody. Hey, buddy, I'm struggling with this. I need God. I'm struggling with offense. I'm struggling with my tongue. I struggle with this thing. I struggle with fear. I struggle not to hate Jacob Zuma. I struggle not to do that. I struggle with these people. Share it. And then you say, hey, God, help me. The person that I hated, I saw him in the street and I went and I hugged him. And when I reached over his shoulder, I put a 200 rand note in his back pocket just to bless him. Share it. Okay, let's stand. Full in a boat of soccer, so it's let's cry. Okay. I feel that there are people, if you wanna share something on what God has been doing in your life, or maybe something that you feel is important, it doesn't even necessarily have to tie in with a message, just feel that there's a need for us to just share. I want you to come forward. If you have a solution to loving people better, you can do your 1 minute sermon up here.
Hi, my name's Stacy. And for a while now, I've been working with guys who in recovery from addiction, and it's been quite a tough journey. But I think one of the biggest things I found in when there's a negative response towards you, it's so easy to take it on yourself and feel like it's a personal insult. But I've actually found in those moments to literally just close my eyes and say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying? It takes your focus off the pain towards you and your eyes are fixed on God. And so you can respond how God leads you instead of how you would feel if you take on what is normally actually a lie anyway. But yeah.
Next week, you're the sermon. Me neither. Nobody will be here. sure I'm going to draw a heart in your forehead.
When Amos' father was here, and he was preaching, I thought, look, Paul says, when you accept the abundance of grace and the righteousness as a gift, then you will reign in love, in life. But on the other hand, when you read further in Paul's letters, he says, hey man, you must do this. As ek Afrikaans mag praat, hy sê, gooi dit af, gooi dat af, gooi dat af. Hy sê, nee, aanvaar God sy genade en sy gerechtigheid as een geskenk. Dis die geheim. Maar by ander plekke sê, nee man, jy moet veg, jy moet tot die dood te strijd en sonde. Toe vraag vir Amos' pa, nou wat is die waar, wat moet ek dan doen? Toe sê nog, dis een moeilike vraag, ek moet bid daarover. En toe ek daarover bid, toe sê die Heere vir my, die antwoord is liefde. Want as jy liefde lewe, sê die Bybel, dan kom jy van die dood na die lewe. So, al wat ek wil sê is, ek dink, het is makkelijk om jou toe te le op liefde. Dit is ek nie so moeilik nie. Die Bybel sê nou nergens, jy moet jou vrou verstaan nie. Hy gaan jy nie moeilike opdrachte gee nie, maar makkelike opdrachte. So om lief te hee, is maar die antwoord op alles. Dank jy.
Die jaarkie woord is voorkom. Wie gewen? Wie is die liefste?
Ek is baie skam om hiervoor te praat, so ek vermyd dit. Maar ek is nog net 'n kort getuienis lewe rondom ons maand van generosity. Ek het so twee dienste van generosity gemis, maar ek het soos backpay gekry en ek het SARS geld teruggekry en ek het besluit om die 10de daarvan vir mense weg te gee. Maar toe voel ek soos convicted dat ek met 'n 10de op daai geld ook gee. En toe het ek en die Bybel sê so mooi dat ons moet hom vertrou, want hy gaan nie die storehouses oopmaak. En sedert ek dit gedoen het, het ons net soos kostpersent gekry. En ek meen, ons het nie rarig shortage nie, ons het nie tekort nie, maar ek het so hele boks appelkose van my male gekry met 'n lift. En ek het soos konfyt en bladjan gemaak en ons het soos pruime, iemand het in hulle tuine boom pruime, ons het gaan pruime pluk, ek het vir my hulp, 'n hele sak vol gegee, en ja, dit is net vir my amazing hoe die Here regtig faithful is, en dit is so ietsie kleins, ek wou sommer net vir julle gedeel het om julle te encourage.
Ek voel baie keer, besef ons nie die klein aksies wat ons doen, wat se impak het maak nie. So ruk gelede het ek my kar gestamp, ek het in iemand in gereverse, my kar was oké, okay, maar die ou moes twee panele, sy voorste en sy agterste deur, moes hy vervang. En ek het nog, maar ek is totaal in al hysteries, ek huil, my kinders is ontsteld, ek staan by die polisiestasie, hierdie arme, dis 'n swart man gewees. Initieel toe ek uitklim, toe sy baie offensive met my, en ek weet, hoe kan jy so iets doen, jy kan nie net so achteruitry, jy weet, maar ek weet, vrou se eerste respons is, sy nie weet wat om doen, die sy baars en trane uit, en dan kan jy, is dit niks doen nie. Jy sê, if all else fails, jy weet, begin huil. So, in any case, ek ontstaan by die polisie, ek is so ontsteld, en hierdie arme man, begin selfs in Afrikaans met my te praat, en vir my te sê, jy moet nie so bekommerd wees, nou huil ek nog meer, want nou voel ek so skuldig, want hierdie arme ou, wat eintlik 'n kosa is, obviously, praat nou al in Afrikaans met my. Ek vat sy nommer, om seker te maak, als is alright en alles, sê dit in my foon, en 'n paar weke daarna, blaai ek dier die korant, en ek sien, hi, maar hier is die ou, hy is die chief whip of the ANC, ja, dis die ou wat ek raak gerei het. Ek sê vir Eden, maar ek het al vir 'n week lang op my hart, ek wil net die ou bel, maar nou denk ek gaan 'n bietjie weird wees, net om uit te vind, het dit okay uitgewerk, want my kar is reggemaak, maar ek weet nie van hom nie. Maar nou denk ek, het gaan 'n bietjie
weird wees, jy weet. En Edwin sê nee, gee vir my die ou se nommer en hy bel vir hom en Charlie sê vir hom baie dankie dat jy gebel het. Ek waardeer dit regtig baie. Want my eerste reaksie was wat as ek die ou bel en hy's weer kwaad en die ding het nie reg uitgewerk nie en ons moet vir hom geld gee. Jy weet mense dink al hierdie what ifs. En Edwin bel en hy sê weet jy, my versekerings het nie alles uitbetaal nie, maar ek het ander versekerings wat ek kon vergeet het van en alles is toe betaal. En op die ou einde net gesê baie dankie dat jy gebel het. En ek dink net ek weet nie wat se impak dit gemaak nie, want ek is 'n wit Afrikaner vrou, jy weet, en my man wat uitreik op daai manier na hierdie ou en op 'n manier miskien 'n brug kan bou. So ek wil eintlik net vir jou encourage, jy weet, en vir Anne Marie wat in daai situasie is. Want mense doen partykeer goed en jy sê goed en jy besef jy eintlik jy weet nie eintlik wat se impak nie. Jy weet nie wat se brug ons bou nie. Ja, amen.
I was busy with a process in my life, and I wanted to love people, certain people in my life, according to rules, and I sort of started reading a lot of stuff, how to sort of try and change people in my life, how to fix them, basically. And in doing this, this week I also had the thing that I want to basically didn't want to force something down, but I built this wall up on my life, and I wanted to change people from the inside, and then it was God's work, and I wanted to do that, and I gave it over to the Holy Spirit, and I was going through this process, and He just opened up, and I was the one breaking down my wall, and I was the one laying down my heart and my emotions, and that's basically what I got taught, because you can't change people from the inside, but you can change and you can break down your walls and you can lay down your heart and open up. And that brought more change in my life than I could ever expect. So.
Over the last few months, it's been quite hectic at work and so forth, and it was difficult. When things start getting hectic in my life, the first thing that I start doing is I start neglecting my quiet time with the Lord. And usually that just snowballs into horrible things. The old bad nut creeps out and whatever. And the last few weeks, or last week or so, I've been starting to make more effort to spend time in the presence of the Lord. And one thing that I can really testify to is, It's impossible to love people without being in the presence of the Lord. The two go hand in hand. And it's like trying to start a fire without matches. And so all that I can encourage you guys is it's spend time in God's presence, because only then you can start loving people. Before that, it's only going to be something religious coming from out of a human being, and it's going to smell bad. It just does. So, yeah.
These past 6 months while we stayed in the digs, five of us, myself, Mark, a friend of mine, and then three guys from our hometown, and they didn't know the Lord. So we'd lived with them the previous 6 months before we went on prac, and nothing really happened, and we try to love them and serve them. And this last 6 months we decided, okay, we're just gonna carry on loving them. And every morning when these guys woke up, we'd tell them, hey, you're beautiful, or something like that. And one of them has now come to the Lord, and he loves the Lord. Yeah.
When Eric started swim coaching here in George, there was another coach in town who for some reason felt very threatened with him and said all kinds of nasty things about him. But I mean, really the kind of things that will break down your reputation, you know. And Eric never did anything, never said anything, you know, just said, I bless you, lady, because she would sometimes say it in his face and a lot of times, you know, behind his back. And Well, a few months ago, so when Eric lost his job earlier this year, some of the parents of the kids that he'd been coaching had really tried everything to get a pool for him, you know, an undercover pool for him to coach at, and it all fell through, but they went to this lady as well. And of course she said no, and Eric himself went to her just to say he did everything that he could, and of course she said, absolutely, no ways, you know, and you're a bleep, 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 and what else, whatever else. So we just, you know, left it and prayed over the situation, prayed for her, all of that. And then, as the Lord would have it, a few months ago, this lady ends up next to Mildy on the plane. You guys know Mildy? She's always in the back here with the little boys. She's such a prayer warrior. So they started talking and probably something to the likes of, what do you do and what do you do and blah, blah, blah. And Mildy must have said something like, oh, we have a guy in church too who coaches swimming. Oh, what's his name? Eric. Oh, and this lady just sort of freaked out. And then Mildy, being her loving self, said, I don't think this guy is who you think he is. And I don't know what else she said. But this woman, and this is to me is the miracle of God in people's hearts. This lady somehow ends up, she was a Christian, didn't quite figure that one out so well, but she went back to the Lord, really repented of the things that she had said, made an appointment with Eric, came and saw him and said, I was wrong. I am so sorry for the things that I have said. I really apologize. I want to make it up to you. Please forgive me. Like, that just doesn't happen. You know, you don't hear that kind of story a lot. So it's so the amazing goodness of God. And then just after that, she offered Eric a job. So it's just, you know, a small part-time thing, and it's the end of the year and all of that. But we were just going, the Lord, you know, it's not about even the work or anything like that. It's just, this is thank you. This is you doing and performing real reconciliation. And it's such a testimony of who you are and that you can work in the heart of somebody who just seemed like they were so set on doing the wrong thing. And if you know who I'm talking about, don't hold it against her and just love her and bless her and know that she's somebody who really responded to God. That's the point of the story. But yeah, we can just say thank you, Lord, because it's like we can leave town with a clean slate. Not, you know, because even if you didn't do something wrong, it just feels yucky, you know, if someone else believes these things about you. So great. Glory to God. He's really faithful and he really is able to work his love in people's hearts.
Ek het baie om te sê, maar ek sal 'n kortjie vertel. Baie van julle weet ek deel traktaatjies uit. Soggens as ek gaan stap, by julle end gaan stap, dan vat ek traktaatjies saam. Maar dis gewoonlik die tyd wat almal dan op pad is werk toe of so, en dan moet dit maar vinnig gaan. So as ek by die huis weggaan, dan sit ek my hande op dit en ek seën dit en ek vra God bereik u doel deur hierdie traktaatjies en elkeen wat dit ontvang. Maar ek wil net Maar die reaksie is soms wonderlik. Baie sê nee, ek ken nie God nie, want ek vra hulle, ken julle vir Jesus? As ek begin gesels, baie sê nee, ek weet nie wie dit nie. Maar in elk geval, ek stap daar in Kerkstraat af, daar bo by Dennenoord, en ek geef, hier langs die pad is 'n man wat in 'n erf werk, en ek geef hom een, maar so gaan ek aan, en die volgende Dinsdag, toe loop ek weer daar af, ek loop elke dag daar af, maar daar aan die ander kant van die straat staan een man, en ek gaan na hom toe en ek geef hom een, en hier roep iemand my achter, toe sê die persoon wat laas week een gekry het, toe sê hy, hoor hier, ek bly in Tembalet toe, en ek het met die manne, die mense om my gepraat, oor hierdie traktaatjies, ons het dit gelees, en hulle soek allemaal van die traktaatjies, en ek dink dit is 'n groot seën.
Nou eers preek. Kan ek maar. Hierdie was 'n rowwe jaar gewees, it was a difficult year. My dad died the 21st of April and I was asking the Lord why that day, because I know he works with exact things, with numbers, with signs and wonders, and he gave me Revelations 21 verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, no crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And I know a lot of you have experienced also heartache and difficult times, but that promise stays the same for all of us. So we must hold on to that. And what was one other thing. Oh, then just a week after my dad was buried,
buried. Not buried like in, how do you say? Buried. Whatever. My sister-in-law filed for a divorce for my brother. He didn't even tell us, but my sister-in-law, ex-sister's name is Teresa, and we were all very sort of heartbroken for him. And then Teresa came in our church, and the first day I said, I don't like this name, because I've forgiven her, but I don't like Teresa's anymore. And then the Lord brought restoration through Teresa and Mario. So I just want to honor him that he sent people over our path and that he is a God of restoration and he will wipe away our tears. Doesn't matter what your heartache is, he will wipe away your tears and he's the victor in the end. Okay.
Okay, ik wil... die ouderlinge net vorentoe te bring. Jy hoef nie gebring te word, jy kan maar vorentoe stap. Edwin, as jy ek so met kan, Rohan, gaan jy kan handle. En Cornel, as jy ek so met jy kan wees. Wil jy by mekaar, mag jy by mekaar staan? Ok. I want to thank them. They're almost too humble. I don't know if you know. So we want to thank you for supporting us as a young couple. We had a baby this year, not sleeping much. And I do want to just bless you in front of and honor you in front of the whole congregation for the support and the friendship, and the input, and the prayers, and just everything that, just for the last 2 years that you have showed towards us. So I want all of you just to extend your hands, and we're going to pray, because we need more leaders like this, not only in this church, but in the world. God, we thank you, Lord, for people that are, I'm just willing, Lord, to serve, Lord, and I'm willing to love, and I'm willing to give input, Lord, and I'm willing to serve behind the scenes, Lord. I want to bless Edwin and Karen, Lord, and their family. Thank you, Lord, for the sacrifices that they've made for this church, for your kingdom, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I want to bless Krista, Lord. Thank you that that she's just a vasvatter in die gees also. Lord, I honor them as the leaders that you have placed in this church, Lord. I honor them with a place in my heart, Lord, to love them and to support them, Lord. I just want to thank also Cornell, God, for her support this year. Lord, it's been amazing. Lord, it's been hard and tough sometimes with Amo. But you love me, and I know that you love Cornell. And thank you that through Cornell's love, I've really just experienced and grown in your love. Lord, I want to thank this congregation, this amazing congregation, Lord, that are willing to go to the ends of the earth for you, God, and they're willing to spend long hours just with you to know what you want to do with them. Lord, and we bless you for the privilege of just serving this community, George. You're amazing, God, and we love you, Lord. We want to be lovers of you. We want to be lovers of people. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Okay. Ek het nou nie beplan om hierdie testimonie vandag te deel nie. En dit is oortuiging in my hart dat ek het met julle moet deel. Dit is uit dankbaarheid dat ek vandag hier staan. And what I want to tell you, you can be an elder, you can be a deacon, you can be a small group leader, it doesn't matter, because nothing matters in life except God. And we so easily say a lot of things, and we use words like we're taking oxygen. And if you see my tears today, trust me, it's out of a place of gratitude and thankfulness. There's one word people use so often to say, dit was 'n helse ding wat ek deur gegaan het. But I can stand here before you today and really testify that I think I went to hell this year and back. God blessed me with 3 amazing children. And in this year, my one child, a son, decided he's very confused. He's no longer a man. He has serious questions about his sexuality. And the Holy Spirit warned me about that, but I chose to ignore that. And yes, people who know my son. And by grace of God, and many hours of prayer, and liters of tears, God removed that confusion over my son's head. But it felt to me that I really went to hell and back. So, what I want to tell you today, God is good. But pray for leaders. Don't think, because I'm a leader in this church, we are above or we are untouchable. It's not that matter. I need your prayers. Amo Cornell needs your prayers. Edward and Karen need your prayers. And part of my journey this year was really to get over myself and to get over pride. I can't tell you as parents, one by one, count your words when you speak to your children. I had so much schuldgevoelens in self-hate in this year, because my ex-husband used to speak those negative words out over my son when he did not want to act as the norm, what guys are supposed to do when they are small boy kids. So, please count your words when you speak to your children. There's power in words. But what I also know, when I came back from Turkey, first it was this whole media thing about the Dutch Reformed Church saying it's okay to have gay marriages. Then God blessed us by bringing in 2 women in a relationship that are actually married into our church. And I know that was not per toeval. But God brought me to a place to know what love means, what acceptance of people means. It's easy to say these things, guys, but we have to count our words. God is much bigger than anything, but me as a parent could not solve this problem. It was God. And God is good. And I can tell you, the testimonies that started coming out of my son's journey is just the beginning. But we don't need to take those off dry poikies. Just one way, God's way.
Thank you, Krista. Let's just take time, maybe tell the person next to you, if there's anyone that you feel that if you've committed the sin against love, you just feel there's somebody that came up when I preached or somebody shared a testimony and you felt you need to go out and make right to that person. Or you need to go back to God and you say, God, or maybe you must come for counseling or whatever. But if there's a sin against love that you keep on committing, now is the opportunity to repent of it, but also to make it right. So just turn to the person next to you and just share if there's anything. Make that commitment to do it. If not today, but in this week. Can we do that? Because we are lovers. We are supposed to be lovers of God and of people. But thank you guys. I love this congregation. I love the vulnerability. I love the tears. Let's just share it with the person next to us.